Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Thursday programme. I'm Siobhan, joined by Carlo, as we just heard. Hello again. How are you?
Good afternoon to you.
You all right?
Yes, but this morning you thought I had kind of slid into death or possibly accident.
Oh, well, my mind did start to race, actually, and it was I did get myself into a little bit of a panic. Carlo didn't show up this morning, as we usually have our usual meeting place, don't we?
Yes.
Where we get some coffee. 8 a.m.
sharp, be there for Siobhan this morning. But you know what? I wonder how many other people have done this. Last night, I normally charge my phone in the kitchen, and my phone acts as my alarm, my wake-up call. Last night, the thing was charged, so I had it in my hand, went into the bedroom, pulled off my socks, got into bed, put the phone down next to the bed. And this morning when it rang, I switched it off, and I thought, I'll have another 5 minutes, Kip.
Yeah, I'll just have another 5 minutes.
Open my eyes at 9:20 with calls from you, several friends.
Panicked,
yeah. And the security guard from the building trying to break down my door.
Oh, really? Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you got a hold of them. So I called, but I think the sort of kind of the story behind the story is what really did make me think, when do you start to worry and who do you know that can help? Thankfully, we have a mutual friend that I called and asked, you know, and he knew someone in your building to go down and knock on the door. She wasn't answering the phone. Then we were like, oh my God, what do we do? I was just about to go race down there and see if I could find you when you called me and said, I'm really sorry. But it did really make me think. And I suppose possibly in this kind of, if you could call it like an atomized society maybe not so transit now, but, you know, who do you know your neighbour? Is there someone that you can call?
Well, we know one another,
when
but
do we
have
a
reference
worried?
Call on a friend? Because we've all got such different groups of people that we know. They don't all know one another. So do we have a number that we can refer to?
And it really made me think, actually, that I must maybe get some more emergency numbers from people just in case.
What, doctors, hospitals?
Oh, I don't know, but I was really worried.
I was very impressed, and a huge thank you to you and the several other people that were trying to kind of save my life.
Even though you were happily snoring away.
But the care factor touched me deeply because I thought, I will never end up like Bridget Jones. You know, she had that fear that she would be all alone, single, old.
No, never.
Slid, had an accident, and would be found half-eaten.
I'd be abseiling down through the balcony to come and get you.
Would you?
Yeah.
Well, at least I know that I will not be in my home dead, alone, and eaten by my two miniature Yorkies.
But I suppose the moral of the story is maybe get some phone numbers for friends or for friends of friends that if anything, you know, God forbid, did happen to anyone, that you would be able to find out, A, where they live, what apartment number they live in. Do you know a neighbour that you can call to check on them? You know, I was just sort of retelling the story in the office and saying, you know, if someone didn't show up for work, when would you start to get worried? And if you did get worried, would you be able to call anyone to find out? Do you know the number of their husbands or partners or friends? It's a good question.
It's a great question.
When would you start to miss me? By about 12:30, maybe.
Well, you are so punctual. I'd possibly start worrying immediately.
Oh, no, I'm kidding.
But I'd call your husband and then kind of take it from there.
Yeah.
Probably find that he'd bound and gagged you and stuck you in a cupboard.
There you go. Anyway, this is the 120 show where each week we invite our panel of guests to join us who had take a look through the news stories that have caught their eye over the week for discussion. As always, I'm sure it's going to be diverse. What's that?
A piece of the chair.
You've broken the chair. It looks like a
club.
No, a bike seat.
Well, yes, like a bike seat for what? A tiny human being, a child. The chair is falling apart. The studio is falling apart. ARN, please listen. Can I have a chair that will not break as I sit on it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, back to the 120.
Back to the 120. Don't fall off now. So back to the 120 show. So let's introduce our panel of guests who are joining us this week. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back to the studio Hattie Baring, who is a film producer, a director. She's had a fantastic number of films under her belt, namely a Channel 4 film on Damien Hirst. She's also worked with the BBC and just recently, in fact, also worked again for the BBC World, which you may have heard about in the news, saw a German conceptual artist, Christian Jankowski, spend a week blindfolded in Dubai. Hattie, welcome to the programme. Good to see you.
Hi, good to be back.
That, I didn't know you worked on them.
Yeah, no, I produced it.
Yeah, because I saw them. Fun. I saw them in Dubai Mall and I was like, what on earth are these guys doing?
I got stopped by CID 4 times. They thought it was the slowest hostage situation they've ever come across.
Why are they smiling?
It was really good fun. I mean, it was bonkers, but it wasn't just Christian who was blindfolded.
He was a whole crew.
A cameraman and sound recordist, and I was filming for the BBC, so kind of observing it. So this ridiculous sort of gypsy circus. It was exhausting in the heat, like, you know, like babies, big babies, and they became totally imperious with the lack of sight as well. You know, I'd have to give them their cigarettes and their coffees and their, you know,
feed them down.
Did you need permission?
I got permission. I mean, it was really exciting. I mean, this is kind of partly why, you know, what I want to talk about today. It's at the beginnings of, you know, creative projects like this happening here, like really imaginative projects. And I think we took a few people by surprise, but on the whole, people were really good-natured about it, and they just sort of allowed it to happen. And I'm talking about, you know, places like, you know, big hotel chains who normally don't allow any filming unless it's a kind of, you know, big publicity spin. So it was good fun. I mean, it was a bit zany for anywhere in the world.
And apparently it had a great reception. It was with Rami Farooq, wasn't it?
Rami
with Traffic.
Farooq, who runs the Traffic gallery and satellite space.
He's fantastic.
He was kind of hosted Christian, and they collaborated and made their own sort of art film. And then and it's going to be on BBC News.
How many days was it?
6 days, but we had sort of 3 days.
Okay.
They took it very seriously. We had to like black out their hotel room, so they weren't. They, you know, they
That's
only
really
took their blind.
Tough.
It was really
wow.
tough. I mean, they'd kind of go off in like kind of convoy to the toilets. It was really fun.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for joining us. Good to hear about that. Tell us, what stories have you chosen for us today?
Okay, so I've chosen to speak about aflamma.com, which is this new crowdfunding site for creative projects that's focused very much on Arab content and content that's got a focus of, you know, the Arab world, which is really exciting and something that, you know, definitely needs to be happening here. It's a kind of model that happens elsewhere in the world and has really become sort of standard practice for raising money for creative projects.
Okay.
And the other idea, thing I want to talk about is ishtakana.com, which is really the kind of YouTube for Arabic content, which has really taken off.
Okay.
And then the other thing, which if we get a chance, will be to talk about the Pan-Arabian Enquirer.
I haven't heard of this.
Which is so much fun. It's like a satire site for sort of pretend news stories from the region. It's sort of born out of the Arab Spring, really.
Okay.
And it's terribly funny.
All right. Yeah. Definitely that. Put that on my radar. Thank you, Hattie. Look forward to getting more detail about those stories. It's also a real pleasure to welcome to the studio our next panelist, who is Michael Wallace, who's managing partner with Wallace Marketing Consultants. Michael, it's wonderful to have you on the programme.
Thank you for having me on. My pleasure.
And tell us, what about your stories?
Well, I've got 3 stories. The first story is from The Economist, and it deals with international tourism and this idea of nations branding themselves the way that multinational companies would.
Mm-hmm.
The second story is from CBS News Television in the United States, and it's an interview with the U.S. Republican Senator from Arizona, John McCain, who was also the unsuccessful 2008 U.S. Republican presidential candidate.
That's a long title, isn't it?
Speaking out on Syria and U.S. involvement in Syria.
Okay.
And then the third story, which is from Yahoo Sports, deals with the upcoming British Open golf tournament, which is taking place next week, the fact that the current U.S. Open golf champion has decided not to participate, and so his reasons for doing that.
Okay.
So 3 very different stories, very different sources, but I think all interesting.
Look forward to getting to grips with those as well. Thank you, Michael. Great to have you on the program. Over to you, Carlo.
Why do you always kind of gasp? I've got 2 very different stories. IQ level of 0, I think, always kind of shows the environment that I kind of read through. You know what? I'm such a voyeur, if that is how you say the word, for the reader's letters, especially the problem questions that people kind of load up.
Do you know
up.
What I do read, though? I like especially like the brilliant. 7 days problem, not problem page, but letters pages, or Ozzy Osbourne has got a funny one in the Times. I don't know if you ever read that one. It's quite funny.
I'd actually never heard of it until you said this morning. But even the 7 days, I mean, the letters pages is so hugely popular and also very influential in kind of getting things kind of, you know, happening. But yes, I was wasting a little bit of time the other day looking for stories, and the one that appealed to me was a problem that a woman has. She's been seeing a guy for 2 years. He hasn't been working for 2 years, has no money and never does a thing to help. So I'd like to kind of go through
him out.
Well, yes, you see, that's the thing. Why is she with him at all? But anyway, that appealed to me, and we'll talk through that. And then back to 7 days. This is making me very worried because I'd never be able to get another job. Apparently, employers are focusing on beauty instead of brains.
Oh dear!
And today's 7 days as a whole.
Does that the same for radio though?
Hot topic. Well, I have to say, a couple of people have seen me outside of the radio and said, "Oh, is that what you look like?" So, yes, I think it applies everywhere. But this is a hot topic in 7 days today. And they've got a huge interview with one of the Dubai surgeons who's saying that a lot of the ageing population of Dubai are going under the knife in order to get a job.
Oh, dear. Right.
So that appealed to me.
Well, we'd love to get some of your thoughts as well, listeners, on that. Would you go under the knife to get a job? And lots of the other stories as well. It'd be good to get some discussions going. 4001 is our text message number. Very briefly, before we go to a break, a couple of stories from my side. Did you know that tomorrow's Friday the 13th?
I hadn't even thought of it.
Yeah, it is. Does it bother anybody? I don't know. Are you suspicious? Well, apparently there are lots of restaurants around the world that don't have a number 13 table. There's even hotels that don't have a number 13 floor or rooms or anything like that. So it certainly still is alive, I think, this sense of suspicion. Let us know if you're suspicious. And then one of the, I think, really tragic stories, in fact, it's the second case in the number of weeks of a poor child that was left inside a car and unfortunately died. And there's a story, in fact, in Express, I think part of Gulf News, which, now, I'd like to get some thoughts on everyone's from everyone on this. And they seem to be kind of blaming centrally locked cars and busy lifestyles as an excuse or a reason that this could possibly happen. If I may just quickly quote, the Dubai pressures of modern life and a false sense of security provided by power car locks are robbing people of their balance, so much so that they forget children inside a hot car, a Dubai psychologist has warned. Well, we'll get to grips with that story. Is it that our lifestyles have become just too hectic and too stressful that we're forgetting
our
children? I don't know. Are we looking for excuses in all the wrong places and not really looking at where the reason lies? I'm not sure. But
left his kid in the pub.
Yeah, he did. That's a good one. But
she was older, I thought, no?
She was older and she was okay. And it was an outsole plate. But you know, valid very valid point, though. We're going to take our first break of the hour. And then when we come back, we'll get to more detail with all the various different news stories that we've mentioned.